If you can just get in God's presence, he will lift you up. He will build you. He will bless you if you just let him, if you would just allow him by worshiping him. Forget about yourself. Concentrate on him and worship him. Forget about your problems, your pain, and just say, Lord, I'm here to worship you. I'm not here for any shape, form, or fashion, but I'm here to just let you have what I got. And all I got is a thank you. All I got is a hallelujah. All I got is, Lord, you're worthy. All I got is, Lord, you're awesome. All I have, Lord God, is I thank you for just being here with me through my hard times, through my trying times. Lord, you said you'd never leave me nor forsake me, but you'll be with me even until the end of the world. And I'm just so happy and thankful for that, that even if I got problems, that you still won't leave me. Even if I mess up, Lord, you still won't leave me. Even if things don't go my way, you still say, I love you. And I, Lord, I just want to show how much I appreciate that, how much I really appreciate you looking on me and you loving me, even though in spite of me, in spite of my inconsistencies, in spite of me not serving you like I should, you still say, I want your worship. And Lord, that means a lot. I thank you, God. I thank you, God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, you're worthy, God. You're so worthy. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for giving your only begotten son who died for us but rose on the third day with all power in his hand. We thank you. We love you, Lord. We praise your name. I want to use a thought today. I want to use this thought, a title or tag for this message, and it's a serious message. I hope that you catch it. I hope that I'm clear and for understanding. The worth of real worship. The worth of real worship. I really want to touch him. I want, just like the woman with the issue of blood, I just want to touch the hem of his garment. If I can just get in his presence, if I can get closer to him, I think I'll be all right. Do I have anybody in the house today that say, I feel like that woman. I feel like I need to be in God's presence. I feel like I need to press my way through. I have a broken and contrite spirit. I have a broken heart. Things have been going bad in my life, but now it's time for you to get close to him, because the only person that can make it good in your life is God, because he's the only one that's good. Jesus said he's the only one that's good. And so since he's good and he's God, he can make things all right in your life. Man, and so the woman comes in verse number 37. She come to the Pharisee's house, and Jesus sat there, and she brought an alabaster box of ointment. She brought a box. She brought basically the most valuable thing that she had in her house. She brought the most valuable thing that she had in her life. This was worth about 300, according to John chapter 12, I believe it was worth about 300 pence. It was worth something. And that's in that day, that was almost a year's worth of wages. Do you imagine that? You got your retirement and you taking it to Jesus. Preach. Can you imagine you take your nearly your whole salary and you buy something just for God, just for the kingdom of God? You know, we struggle with giving him a dime out of every dollar. We struggle with giving him a penny. Come on and say amen. Out of every dime. We struggle with giving him $10 out of every 100, but this woman took all she had. She took the most valuable thing she had. And by the way, if she's a woman of the city, she was going to need that, because she got to make herself smell good to get some attention. Amen. Preaching here. She was going to need that, because that's how she made her money. But this woman decided that I'm not worthy of what I got. I need to give the worth to him, because he's worthy of it all. Oh, come on and say amen. And so she decides that I'm going to worship him, and I'm going to take what I got to go worship him with it. Amen. She comes in, and she comes in slowly and silently, unnoticed, and people are kind of unaware that she's there until they smell something. I wish I had somebody. They are unaware that she's there, but she's there in silence, and all she wants to do is worship God, and all she wants to do is get close to Jesus. And so verse 38 says, and they stood at his feet behind him weeping, because she was broken. She was weeping because of what her heart felt for him, and began to wash his feet with tears. And so this woman began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head. And notice what she did with her hand. I love what she did with her hand. I noticed what she did with her hair. She began to wipe his feet with her hair. Amen. And as she did that, she washed his feet with tears. Now, we got to remember this, that the Pharisee didn't offer him water to wash his feet. The Pharisee did not offer him water or a towel to dry them. Amen. But this woman God sent to Jesus, and she began to wipe and wash his feet and wipe him. That was part of her worship. She took action in worship. And a lot of times we don't want to take action. A lot of times we don't want to do anything. A lot of times we come in here and we want to sit on our blessed assurance and not say a word to the Lord. We just want to come in here and have, you know, we want to watch people and have a good time. We want to hear some good singing and maybe a decent message or whatever. And then we got that for to take ourselves on our day. But that's not all we come to do. We come to worship him. We come to lift him up. We come to praise his holy name. Do I have anybody in here? In the name of Jesus. Oh, and she came in and she began to take action immediately. When you get in Jesus's presence, you're just not going to sit there. If you really want to get in his presence, you're going to do something. Amen. If you really want to get in his presence, you're going to make your way to be able to worship him. You're not going to just let people do what they want to do. Amen. You're not going to just sit there and say, you know, I'm just going to sit here because other folks doing this. I'm going to sit here too. No, you're going to say, come on, let's praise the Lord up in here. That's why when I get the mic, I always say, come on, let's give God some praise. I'm not just going to let you sit there on me. I'm not just going to let you sit there and not praise God. God's been too good to me. Amen. That's why I want you to lift your hands. That's why I want you to say amen. That's why the devil don't bother me. The devil can do whatever he want to do, but I'm going to stay and focus on God. Amen. I'm going to get my focus on him. You can talk. You can try to distract, but guess what? God is in the house. And since God is in the house, I'm going to give him the praise that he's due. Amen. Oh, glory be to God. And so this woman began to take action because she washed, she wiped, but that was her worship. Now, I'm not going to tell you how to worship, but I want you to know that you got to do something. You can't just sit there. Come on, don't just sit there. Tell your neighbor, don't just sit there. But it's time to worship God. And when it's time to worship God, we must give God some action. Amen. Oh, yeah, the Bible even tells us that our faith must be at work, because faith without works is what? Dead. All right, we got to understand faith without works is what? Dead. We got to understand that. And so we got to give God something. Amen. And so in the Bible said that she washed, she worshiped, and she was totally into Jesus. She wasn't worried about the Pharisee. She wasn't worried about the sad, you see. She wasn't worried about the judges or the haters or the ones that said, oh, she's a sinner. She wasn't worried about that. She said, my focus is on Jesus. When we come to church, we can't be looking at everybody else. Amen. We got to look at God. We can't be wonder what they did last night. I'm not worried about that, but I'm looking at God. I'm not worried about who they are, what they are, and what they did. All I am thinking about is God. I got my mind on Jesus. So she was not distracted by the people, but she was on focus and on point with her worship. And so when we get to a place of worship, we got to really understand that nothing else matters. Do you know that nothing else matters when it comes time to worship? That's why you should put your phones up and not be on Facebook during that time, unless you're going live and sharing the message. Oh, come on and say amen. Yes, that's why you should not be shopping and all this other stuff and talking and passing notes and being distracted. And while I'm preaching, you shouldn't be reading your Bible, because that's total disrespect to the word of God that's being spoken, because it's time for Rhema. You can read your Bible at home. Matter of fact, some of you that do that don't even read at home. Preach. So anyway, we got to see something here that this woman said, nothing else matters. I'm here in total submission to Jesus Christ. And so it doesn't matter what they think. I don't care if I'm crying. Yes, I'm crying. Don't ask what's wrong with me. Just let me worship. Oh, yeah, I'm bowing down. I'm bowing down. But don't wonder what I'm doing. You get on and worship. Huh? Oh, come on and say amen. And so she says that I'm going to take my time, because she took time out of her busy schedule. She decided, I don't want to walk the street tonight. I want to go worship, preach. She decided, not only am I going to take my time out, because we're supposed to give God his time. Amen. Anybody know that we're supposed to give God his time? You know what? If we really tithe our time, we ought to give God about 2.4 hours a day of our time. I wish I had somebody, but how many of us actually do that? Amen. We, out of the 24 hours a day, how many of us try to give God something of time? We give him something about 5 minutes minutes in the morning and about 5 more at night. But throughout the day, we do whatever it is that's on our mind. Amen. But we give him our time. But she gave him not only her time, she gave him her tears. Amen. She said, I want to give you my tears. And her tears, knows what her tears represents. Her tears represents everything that happened to her. Her tears represents everything that's gone on the inside of her. Her tears represents her prayers. Preach. Her tears represents the things that had happened to her that she couldn't tell nobody about. Oh, Lord, have mercy in here. Do I have anybody in the house that say, I got some stuff that I just can't tell everybody. I got some things that I can't tell nobody. And so I got to hold them bottled up. But then there's a time the bottle breaks and the tears come rolling down your face. And some point in worship, you'll begin to cry because you realize I'm not worthy of being in this presence. You realize, oh, come on and say amen here. You'll realize that I need to talk to God. But you know, you don't have to open your mouth to talk to him. Your tears have a letter. Oh, come on and say amen. Your tears, every one of your tears is like a letter being written to God. He can interpret your tears. He know what they are all about. He know when they're tears of joy. He know when they're tears of sorrow. He know that when they're just tears that I'm grateful to be in your presence. And so here was this woman. She was so broken and she had tears coming down her face so much and so profusely that it was enough to wash his feet. It was enough to wash his feet. We got to give him of our time, and we have to give our tears and get them involved in this. Our feeling, a real feeling. You know, you don't cry until you really feel something. Mm-hmm. And we have to give him our real feeling. Quit holding back on God. We hold back too much. I don't want to get too deep into it because I don't want to lose my composure. When you worship, you don't care about composure. You care about the Savior. Oh, have mercy. Amen. When you worship, I don't care about my composure. I don't care about my suit. I don't care how many buttons I break. I don't care about my hair and if my wig turned crooked. Come on. We need to give God what belongs to him. Some of y'all laughing because that happened to y'all. Sister Rose said, yep. It's all right. Keep worshiping him. Crooked wig and all, worship him. Amen. But we have to give him our tears. But then she gave him her treasure. She gave him the most costly thing that she had in her life. She said, I got to give it to him. He's worth it. What is he worth to you today? Will you give it to him? Will you give him the most costly thing that you have in your life? Will you give it to him? Amen. She gave him her treasure. And the Bible says, look at what she did. She kissed his feet. She kissed his feet. And washed him with the hair of her head. A woman's hair is her glory. It's why y'all spend so much time getting it right. That's why you spend so much money on getting it right. I'm just saying, you know, you know, a woman, you know what? Can I just be real with y'all? Depending on how a woman wear hair, she can look like a totally different person. Because, you know, some people you pass by and they say, oh, you ain't speak to me. I didn't know because you changed your wig. I thought you was somebody else. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Not intentionally, but it can change how you look. Amen. It can. And she said, I want to use this glorious thing that I have, my hair, to wipe his feet. Uh-huh. And so she said, not only that, but I want to use my ointment. This spikenard. One verse of scripture said, but this alabaster box of ointment, basically it was her perfume. It was her Michael Kors. It was her Versace. It was her, you know, whoever you use. It was her perfume that caught attention. other folks. She said, I want to use this on the body of Christ. Yes. Notice what I said, the body of Christ. Right. What do we do for the body? Are we here as leeches to get what we can from the body? Or are we giving something to the body? If you're not giving to the body, then you're a leech. You're looking for a host, something to attach to so that you can get big, so you can benefit from the blood. Let's not try to benefit from the blood. The blood, what blood? The blood of Jesus. We just want to benefit from the blood. We're not really in the body. We're just on the body. Do I have anybody today that say, I'm not leeching here. I'm coming to give something. I'm coming to give him worship. We always come, oh God, what God can give us. God, give me peace. God, give me joy. God, give me an anointing. God, give me a word. God, give me, give me, give me. But when do we come to give God something? Lord, I didn't come to ask you for anything. I just came to thank you for everything. Lord, have mercy in here. Do I have anybody? You might not get a holler today. Do I have anybody that say, I didn't come to ask God for nothing. I just came to show my appreciation, show how thankful I am, show how grateful I am. Do I have any grateful people? The grateful people are the blessed people. Do I have any grateful people that say, I came, God, to give you something. I didn't come to ask you for anything, but I came to give you something. I came to give you a hallelujah. I came to give you a praise because you deserve it. I came here to worship you. I came to lift my hands. I came to say amen. I came to say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I came to lift you up because he's worthy. She said, I came to give you something. I came to give you my tears. I came to give you my time. I came to give you my treasure. And I love that because, you know, she approached Jesus. She took action in her approach. And then God awarded her something. You know what he did? The Bible says that after this happened, after this woman touched him and wiped his feet, washed his hair, then the Pharisee got, you know, bold. He want to start saying something. Now, if he was a prophet, you'd know what kind of woman this is that's touching him. And he wanted to start talking all of that talk. But Jesus began, as wise as he was, began to talk to him. He said that if a person who owed a whole lot was forgiven their debt, and a person who was owed just a little was forgiven their debt, which one would be more grateful? And then he began to let him know the person who had the greatest debt is going to be the most grateful person. And all I'm trying to say today is that maybe you have not realized how much he's forgiven you. Maybe you have not realized how great your debt was. Maybe you don't realize that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Maybe you don't realize that the hell is real, the devil is real. I wish I had somebody. Maybe you don't realize that there are some things that you really owe unto God, and God said, you know what? I'm not gonna pay you the way you should get paid, but I'm gonna have mercy on your life. Do you know that mercy means a lot? Mercy is God not giving us what we really deserve. I wish I had somebody. Oh, yeah, mercy is when God decides to us and look at us and decides that, you know what, you deserve to die, but I'm not going to let you die today. God has said you deserve to go to hell and bust it wide open, but I'm not going to let you bust it. I wish I had somebody in here. We thank God for his mercy and his grace. His grace is giving us what we don't deserve. His grace said you really don't deserve this, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. His grace said, you know what, you don't really deserve favor, but I'm going to have favor in your life anyway. His grace is saying that I'm going to be there with you, and I'm sufficient no matter what your thorn is in your flesh that the devil brung to buffet you, to hit you, to hurt you. But God said that I'm going to be with you anyway. I know it hurts, but I'm still with you. I know you're in pain, but I'm still with you. I know you feel shame, but guess what? I wish I had somebody. Oh, come on and give God some praise in here. Oh yeah, but look at what Jesus did. Jesus began to talk for the woman. You know, sometime whenever the enemy comes in to try to accuse you, you don't need to defend yourself. You let God defend you. You let God's word defend you. I know you want to defend yourself and you want to tell them some stuff and you want to let them know how you really feel, but don't tell them how you feel. Let them know what your faith lies in. My faith is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest thing, but hold the lead of Jesus' name. Do I have anybody in the house today that say, you know what? I'm not going to say nothing. The next time they come to you with some junk, you just say, you know, I'm not going to say nothing. I'm going to let Jesus do the talking. Do you know that any time that you hire a lawyer, your lawyer, you know, I deal with lawyers all the time because of the nature of my job, that sometimes if the government comes in and then we deal with them and they want to give us citations for something, I have to consult the attorney, and the attorney said, no, don't even respond. I got this. See, what I'm trying to tell you here, you got to understand something, that I have a lawyer, as my grandma would say, that has never lost a case. And what I'm trying to tell you is that if you got a lawyer by the name of Jesus, I'm so glad today. Do anybody have this lawyer too? You don't have to say a word. He'll defend you. He'll be the one to speak for you. He'll be the one to get, oh Lord, have mercy in here. You don't have to say anything. You just let him work his plan. Let him speak. He don't want to even put you on the stand to testify. He just want to let, come on and say amen. Let you sit there while he gets you the victory. Do I have anybody that say, I got victory now? Oh yeah, I'm so glad. You ever heard about the story? You ever heard the story of the man who so happened that he kept getting in trouble? He kept getting in trouble, kept on getting in trouble. And every time he get in trouble, he would call his lawyer. His lawyer would get him out of trouble. I mean, and no matter what this man did, his lawyer got him out of trouble. He messed around and he hurt a man so bad that it nearly killed him, and he knew he was going to do some jail time, but he decided that, oh, I better call my lawyer. And when he called the lawyer, they said, well, the lawyer is not in today because he has a new job. And he said, I wonder where he is. And so he went looking for his lawyer, and then he somehow ran upon somebody and said, well, you're just not going to get him to be your attorney anymore, so you're going to have to find somebody else. But then the man said, I'm just going to go to court without a lawyer. But the man stood up when he got to court, and he stood up, and they said, all rise. And when everybody rose up and the judge walked in, he realized that the judge used to be his lawyer. And so the judge looked at him and said, it's all right, I know you. It's all right, I know what you did. It's all right, I'm familiar with you. It's all right, because we've been acquainted. Your case is dismissed because I'm the judge now. Anybody here got a lawyer by the name of Jesus that on the last day he's going to be your judge? Do I have anybody in the house that said that I got an answer for all my problems, and his name is Jesus, J-E-S-U-S? Come on and say amen here. He said that I'm going to give you an answer, and I'm going to award you with salvation. When we start to look at verse number 47, the Bible says that, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, and she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, save the same love little. Jesus is saying here, he said that this woman loved a lot. This woman loved me so much. Now, you can tell when a person loved God, because they don't mind giving to him. They don't mind worshiping him. They don't mind giving their time to him. They don't mind giving their treasure to him. They don't mind giving their tears and talent to him. Come on and say amen. And the Bible says, he said in verse 48, unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Then he tells her in verse 49 that they that meet with him, they begin to say within themselves, how can he forgive sin? Because they didn't know who he was, but at least she knew who he was. That's why she was there to worship him. They were there to watch him, but she was there to worship him. Do I have anybody in the house that say, I'm not here to watch him, I'm here to worship. Lord have mercy. Y'all not going to make me try to preach crazy and then y'all look at me crazy. Oh yeah, but I'm trying to tell you that there is somebody in the house that say, I'm no longer a watcher, but I'm here to be a worshiper. And as long as I got King Jesus, as long as I got my lawyer, as long as I got my Dr. Jesus, I know everything will be all right. Do I have anybody in the house that said, I'm going to be like the woman. I'm just going to worship regardless. I don't care what people think, I'm going to worship. In verse number 50, he said to the woman, thy faith have saved thee. He said, go in peace. He said, look, I want you to understand something. You might not have had peace when you came to worship, but now that you worshiped, I need you to go in peace. Do I have anybody? Oh yeah, y'all can spectate all you want, but I came to get some peace today too, because when I worship God, I automatically get peace. When I praise God, I automatically get joy. Whenever you begin to worship God, if something happens in worship that you have no control over, when you give yourself to him, he begins to do stuff for you that you can't do for yourself. You can't give yourself peace. You can't give yourself joy. If you could, you would always have joy. If you could, you would always be at peace. But it takes God that in the midst of the storm that you say, you know, it's all right, I got peace. In the midst of your pain, you still say, I got joy. After all the things I've been through, I still have joy. Y'all don't hear me in here. And so I'm so glad today that I got real joy because I got real worship. He tells her to go in peace. The Bible says in his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand is pleasures forevermore. If I can just get in and worship God, and if I can just get in and give him and lift him up and give him praise, I know it's going to be all right. That's why the devil don't want you at church. That's why the devil don't want you to praise him. That's why the devil don't want you to worship. He wants you to be distracted. He wants you to be disgusted. He wants you to be discouraged. He wants you to be busted. He wants you to be broke. He wants you to be brokenhearted. But God said, you can't stay that way and be in my presence, because once you come in my presence, I start to heal you. I start to add to you. I start to bless you. I start to lift you. You can't stay the same in Jesus' name. You won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. If you can just get yourself together and put your mind on worship, I guarantee God will, because God can, and he'll answer you. And then not only will he answer you, but he'll award you. Look at what he gave her. He said, you got salvation now. And he hadn't even went to the cross yet. He said, your faith have saved you. I wish I had somebody here that said, I know my faith will save me, because I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God under salvation. Do I have anybody? Now, what is the gospel? The gospel is the birth, the life, the death, the resurrection, and the coming again of Jesus Christ. As long as I know that, everything is going to be all right. As long as I know how powerful he is, it's going to be all right. As long as I know that Jesus died for me, that with me on his mind, he died. But not only that, with me on his mind, he rose from the dead and got all power in his hand. I'm so glad that God did it for me. Anybody in here can say, love lifted me. Love lifted me out of the horrible pit, took me up out of the muck and miry clay, placed my feet on a rock to stay. And I'm so happy. I'm so glad, and I worship him. I worship him in the beauty of holiness. I worship the Lord because he's been good. Anybody know he's been good? I say, won't God bless your life? Won't God help your life? Won't God heal your life? Come on, won't he do it? I say, won't he do it? I say, is he all right now? Is it all right to serve him? Is it all right to worship him? Is it all right to praise him? Well, why aren't you praising? Well, why aren't you worshiping? Oh, hallelujah. Come on and tell the Lord thank you. Come on, tell the Lord hallelujah. Come on and give God some praise. And tell God, I know you're worthy. That's why I'm worshiping. Oh, come on, the worthiness of worship. Do you believe that he's worthy of your worship? If God is worthy of your worship, you ought to tell your neighbor, neighbor, I know we've been sitting on Pastor All Service, but today I challenge you to give God some praise in the house. Come on, tell your other neighbor, neighbor, it's time to wake up. It's time to show what God is and how much he means to you. Is he God in your life? Then you ought to show some sign by giving God some praise. Oh, come on and shout hallelujah. Come on, tell your neighbor this last thing. Say, neighbor. Say, oh, neighbor. I may not know three things. I may not know two things. But one thing I know. I know he's all right. I say, is he all right? Say, yeah. Say, yeah. I know he's all right. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. The worth of real worship. Real worship. Not playing. I'm not performing. But I came to worship.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m.